And now, boys and girls, as well as adults, the story that has about the Palm Sunday, we call it Palm Sunday, and this is a story from the Bible. After he had said this, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come to Bethpage and Bethany, at the place that is called the Mount of Olives, he went to the disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the ground. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered them, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'"
Well, good morning to everyone on this Palm Sunday. It's great to be gathered together. The title of this sermon in the bulletin says "A Perfect Story." It'd also be appropriate to entitle this sermon "A Perfect Storm." A perfect story and a perfect storm. And why is this a perfect storm story? That's the question before us. The perfect storm. You may remember the story of the famous perfect storm. It was late October 1991. A New England fishing boat by the name of Andrea Gale had sailed 500 miles out into the Atlantic. But the weather was changing rapidly. There was a cold front moving along the U.S.-Canada border, which sent a strong disturbance through New England, while at the same time, a large high-pressure system was building over the maritime provinces of southeastern Canada. So you had the cold front, and you have the large high-pressure system coming. This then intensified a low-pressure system, producing what locals called the Halloween Nor'easter. Now, these circumstances alone is enough to create a very powerful storm. But yet, there was another factor that truly made this the perfect storm. A hurricane coming in from the Atlantic brought incalculable tropical energy to the mix. This was the deal breaker. This was the center of it all. This was going to change everything. The forces of nature converged on the helpless Andrea Gale from the west, the north, and the southeast. Ferocious winds and huge waves reduced this ship, boat, to matchwood. Only light debris was ever found. In many ways, the setup for this text today, Palm Sunday, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is also like the perfect storm. Jesus enters onto Jerusalem's streets on a donkey. But why is this the perfect storm setup for Jesus? Well, let's start analyzing this storm system. Rome is bearing down hard on the Jews. This is the storm sweeping in from the west. The new social, political, and not least military reality of the day. The new superpower, Rome. Can you see the storm system coming in? Caesar Augustus, when Julius Caesar kind of said, I want the Roman Empire to be not just preserving itself, but to be expanding. This would have been about three generations before Jesus. Because Julius Caesar was just conquered so much, when he died, he was actually made divine. So then Caesar's descendants were considered son of the divine emperor, or son of God. Can you see how this is setting up for a perfect storm? Rome's leader considered son of God. Why was Rome interested in the Middle East? Why was Rome interested in Jerusalem? For surprisingly familiar reasons as today. Rome needed the Middle East like today's Western powers need it for raw material. Today it's oil. Then it was grain. Rome itself was grossly overpopulated. Grain shipments from Egypt were vital in a region just as unstable in the first century as today. The job of a Roman governor was to administer justice, collect the taxes, and keep the peace, Pax Romana, and particularly to suppress any unrest. That was the gale, the first element in the perfect storm at whose center Jesus of Nazareth found himself. But just as in the perfect storm in 1991, there was another overheated high-pressure system coming in this perfect story too. It's the story of Israel, who believed themselves to be living in the prophecies that were told them of their day coming when they would have true freedom. As far back as we can trace the ancient scriptures, the Jewish people had believed that their story was going somewhere, that their story did not just end in being oppressed by Rome. Their story had a goal in mind where there was freedom. Just like all of us take for granted freedoms that we have, Israel wanted those same freedoms. Despite many setbacks and disappointments, Israel's God would not disappoint them. Their God would make sure that they reached the goal at last. And so the stories that Israel told themselves were not simply stories of small beginnings, sad times, but they were stories of glorious days to come. They were more specific, with heavy with hope for the future. And their story was rooted in the Exodus of Israel being freed from the grasp of Egypt when Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery. This was the story that they held onto for hope, and this was the story that they believed would come again, only this time they would be freed from Romans' rule. The Jews lived on this hope. The tyrants would do their worst, and God would deliver them. And this is what makes this such a perfect storm. Jesus enters on the very Passover holiday. And why is that significant? It's significant because the Passover holiday is when they remember what Egypt was all about, when they remember that they were freed from the grasp of slavery. And so it was a political week, a very political week. It was when actually Rome sent extra forces into Jerusalem to try to suppress the political uprising, because they knew that these Jews remembered the Exodus. They knew that these Jews wanted political freedom. There is a storm a-brewing in Jerusalem. But just like that would have been enough in the perfect storm in 1991, there was still a bigger factor that made it truly a perfect storm. Here is that third piece to the perfect storm, the center of it all, the hurricane, God. The Jewish story always contained one highly unpredictable element, namely God himself. God always remained free and sovereign. Again and again in the past, the way Israel had told its own story was different from the way God was going to work out his story. Jesus believed that what was happening now, that fulfilling the mission of God to return to God's people, was to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But that wasn't necessarily the way the Jewish people expected it would happen. See, the Jewish folks always hoped, as I said, that their national aspirations would come. After all, didn't their God want them to have freedom? But if we take a careful look at the prophets from the Old Testament, if we take a careful look at John the Baptist leading the way to Jesus, there is very clearly a different understanding of kingdom and king than what the people often would have expected. And so you can imagine Jesus as he came into Jerusalem, embodying, incarnating the return of Israel's God to his people in power and glory. And as we walked around today with palm branches, we can imagine that scene as Jesus rode in. But it would be a different kind of power, a different kind of glory. See, God comes to Israel riding on a donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy of the coming peaceful kingdom. By coming in on a donkey, he's announcing the judgment on the broken, evil, violent system and the city that have turned their vocation in upon themselves. And by going to Jerusalem and going to the cross, Jesus is taking the weight of the world's brokenness and evil and sin and hostility onto himself, so that by dying under it, he might exhaust its power by rising again. See, all of his career, Jesus has been demonstrating, embodying this redeeming love of Israel's God. And yet, Israel's own leaders, religious leaders, couldn't see it. So this divine hurricane of love, Jesus, is sweeping in from the ocean. And to accomplish its purpose, it must meet head-on the cruel western wind of pagan empire in Rome and the high-octane, high-pressure system of national aspiration. Jesus seizes this moment, the Passover moment, the Exodus moment, to show this different kind of kingship. This was the perfect storm. I think only when we really understand this context that Jesus rode into do we see just how upside down the God that we worship every Sunday here at Whitmer Heights and throughout the week, our God is. The parallels to today of the different storm systems, it's just amazing how many parallels there are. When we think about the aspirations, especially right now in this political season, for a leader who will bring us the hopes and freedoms that we as a country, say that liar. And we are going to have a certain kind of king or president that will help to bring them. Maybe this is the perfect season, right here during Lent, to be reminded again of the kind of king that we serve. One who does not just fulfill the aspirations of the Jewish people, of what they had hoped for, but one who shows a different kind of way. A way of self-giving up love, of peace, and of humble servanthood for the salvation of the world. Jesus is still showing up, riding in on a donkey, and showing us a different way to live. One of the invitations that we have this morning is to think of our own perfect storms that are brewing. What is the perfect storm in your own life that seems like everything is just coming together perfectly to make it very difficult? We can think of it on a personal level. We can think of it on a church level, on a conference level. We just had Celebration of Church Life this weekend. I was able to be there on Friday, and there was mixed emotions, I guess you could say. I was grateful to be there and to be worshiping with the conference body, while at the same time I felt this pain and this brokenness of our conference that is going through a hard time right now. And in many ways, our conference is in the midst of a perfect storm. And we have hopes and aspirations, while at the same time, we serve a God who is highly unpredictable sometimes, with giving us the kind of hopes that we hope it's going to be. And in the midst of this perfect storm in our conference right now, there's this hurricane that's blowing in of Jesus. And I think that there's this beautiful image that whatever the storm is that we're going through, whatever the storm is, we can be assured that God's love is somewhere in the middle of it all. Somewhere in the middle of it all. There are storms of church conflict. There are storms of family conflict. There are storms of injustice in our world, racism, poverty, food and housing insecurity, refugee crises. The same Roman government that wanted that control. Why? Because they needed its resources. We have the same parallels today of the violence that we see and the injustice that happens when trying to control others' resources. And yet, God is still somewhere showing up in the midst of these storms, this hurricane coming in of self-sacrificial love. I think that this text this morning, Palm Sunday, when we remember and celebrate our King riding in on a donkey, that it calls us on a very personal level. That is, that just as we have been following Jesus on our journey over Lent here this season, following Jesus to the cross, thinking about our own stories, our own humanness in Lent, our own sin, our own places of vulnerability. I think Jesus' journey to the cross invites all of us on a very personal level to ask, what does it mean to take up our own cross and to follow Jesus? What does it mean to take up our cross in the midst of the storms around us? What does it mean to take up our cross and to remember the King Jesus in the midst of our own storms. What is the fresh word that God is giving us this morning? The theme that came to me is thinking about Jerusalem and thinking about the Jews is that they hoped so much for a king that would bring them freedom. And that word hope really stuck with me because all of us have hopes and dreams. We have hopes and dreams for our church. We have hopes and dreams for our own lives, for where we would like to go or a job that we would like to get. But God fulfilled their dream in a very unexpected way. And it was a hope that God fulfilled through a cross-shaped fulfillment. And that is that when Israel wanted power or freedom, God showed them through Jesus the way of the cross, the way of self-giving up love. And one of the questions of response that I'm going to invite us to this morning is to ask, what is a cross-shaped hope that you have for this congregation, Whitmer Heights? And if you're not a part of this congregation at Whitmer Heights, ask the question, what is a cross-shaped hope that you have just for your own life? Or maybe for the congregation that you are a part of? And the reason that I ask the question of being cross-shaped is because it really changes, I think, how we think about what we desire and what we hope for. And maybe it's not just the three B's. A good budget, a nice building, and lots of butts in the seat. People. You know, that's the way often people describe church success. A great, healthy budget, a really beautiful, big building, and lots of people. But if in many ways Jesus turns everything upside down, and it's like, no, it's not just about the prettiest and the biggest and the best and the most powerful. And how did he show that? By riding in on a donkey? What is that same cross-shaped hope that we have for this congregation? That's not to say that people aren't important or that we don't want to grow or that we don't want a good building and a healthy budget. Yes, we do. And I think God wants that too for us. But what is the spirit of what we want here, of what we want God to be doing in our congregation here at Whitmer Heights? A cross-shaped hope that might look very upside down from the rest of the world, and even the church world where we live in. This Palm Sunday, who knows what might happen if we were to go through this Holy Week praying humbly for the powerful fresh wind, that hurricane wind blowing into our lives, to remind us that God is in the middle of all of this storm, bringing something unexpected, new, peace-centered, upside-down kingdom. Let's pray. God, you rode in on a donkey. And the people praised you. And this morning we praise you too. And yet we're aware that of that Holy Week, the same people that were most likely praising and glorifying you were also maybe the same ones that were shouting, "Crucify you." God, this morning we confess that sometimes we also can sound like two different people. And so we ask, Lord, for forgiveness there. God, as we think about your journey to Jerusalem, your unexpected, upside-down kind of kingdom, we pray, Lord, that we might live into that and recognize you as our King this morning. And as we give you our cross-shaped hopes, We ask for your Spirit to be with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.